So this paper is actually some of the research that I did as part of my master's thesis at Washington State. And so just to give a little background as to why we did the study in the first place, or what motivated the study in the first place, creeping bent grass golf greens often require disruptive cultivation to adequately manage them. In addition, a lot of the superintendents in our region have tended to move their cultivation practices to kind of the extreme ends of their growing season to avoid that disruptive cultivation right in the middle of their peak golf period. And so their aeration times are kind of at the extreme ends of the growing season. And we also wanted to take a look at black sand. So traditionally, a lot of dark-colored top dressing materials have been used in golf, from charcoal way back at the early part of the 20th century. I know that milorganite has been used as well. But black sand is a little bit of a newer product, and it's starting to be used. Courses are using it for snow melt in the spring. They've been using it to see spring green up, or improve spring green up by top dressing with black sand. We've also done a study at WC looking at improving late fall germination on creeping bent grass. And if you're not familiar with black sand, here's a picture of some black sand here. And the sand that we used came out of Idaho, and it was an organically dyed black sand. And another thing that we took into account as we thought about this study is this black sand is actually about twice the cost of the tan sand. And so we wanted to determine whether or not the using black sand would be have any it would have to have enough benefit to be viable due to cost. And this is just briefly to show you, this is a course in McCall, Idaho, where they heavily top dress after their last mowing in the fall with black sand, and you can still see the black sand there under the snow. So they come in and remove the snow in the spring, and that black sand helps melt off the rest of that snow and really improves their spring green up, and they've been really pleased with those results. So that's just one of the uses. But for our study, we had two overarching objectives. The first is we wanted to determine the effect of black sand top dressing on recovery time from core aeration. And our second objective was to determine the effect of date on recovery from core aeration. So our study took place in Pullman, Washington, our turf grass and agronomy research center. The study took place in 2008 and 2009, and you can see in the background of the slide outlined our study area. This was on a T1 creeping bent grass research green. It was constructed in 2003 with USGA specifications. And our individual plot sizes were just over 1 square meter. We set this up as a split plot, and we had 4 applications. So our treatments, we had aeration treatments beginning that were applied the 1st and 15th of every month. We started in the 15th of April, and those continued all the way through the 1st of November. However, in 2008, we excluded the 15th of July and the 1st of August treatments, and the reason or our justification for that is that's right in the heat of the summer. We didn't think that applying a dark colored material when the temperatures were the hottest would make a lot of sense, and there weren't anybody in our region that would aerify in that at that time, so we avoided it. But after looking at the first year's data, we decided to put those dates in the second year just to see what was happening. We used 2 top dressing materials. We used the black sand, as I mentioned, which is that organically dyed sand, and then we also used a tan sand, which is a locally available top dressing sand. Both of our sands met USGA root zone mix specifications, so they fell within that window set by the USGA. The tan sand had marginally higher fines in the mix than the black sand, but they still met the standards. So let me briefly just explain to you kind of how we applied our treatments. We used the core aerifier at the dates that I mentioned with a half inch or, 1.27 centimeter hollow tines. We had 5 centimeter spacings on our aerification. Our cores were removed from the plots. You can see in the top right here, remove the cores. Then we applied our sand using a drop spreader, and the sand was then brushed in by hand. Now, there's a little bit of a difference between how we applied our black sand and how we applied our tan sand. And so the black sand, after the cores were removed, we put half the rate of sand down as tan sand. And that sand was brushed into the holes, and so our holes were filled up about halfway with tan sand. Then we came back with the remainder of the rate of black sand, and then that was brushed in so that the cores were, the holes were filled to the top. And the tan sand actually just received the full rate of tan sand that was brushed in. And the reason for the difference is, one, because of the cost of black sand, we were trying to reduce the amount used, and it's also how a lot of superintendents are applying their black sand into their aeration holes by splitting it up and not applying the full rate. And so after the plots were aerified and top dressed, this is what they look like. We collected data, visual data, twice per week. We rated this visual, these visual ratings were on a scale of 1 to 9, so one would be the maximum injury from cultivation, so that's kind of our time zero. Right after we aerified the plots, that would be a 1. And then we, as we rated those, we looked at them until there wasn't any visual, we couldn't detect any damage from cultivation anymore, and those plots received a 9. And based on those ratings, we were able to determine the days it took to recover from the coreation injury. And we rated all the plots within a rating date until every plot received a 9, and then ratings were discontinued. And as part of our analysis, there was a handful of treatments that didn't recover within that growing season, and we had to set those to 99 just so that we could do the statistical analysis and balance our treatments. We also took soil temperature data. In 2008, we measured twice a week at the same time we took our visual rating data. We started at a 7.5 centimeter depth, but wanted to see bigger differences due to treatments. After looking at that first year's data, we decided to move to a 2.5 centimeter depth. And our temperature data was reported 4 days after treatment. And the reason for 4 days is when we looked at the data at 0 days, or right at treatment, there wasn't any difference between sand types. And our fastest treatment recovered within about 10 days. And so that kind of that halfway point, that window where nothing was recovered, but we could see some differences, happened to be at about 4 days. Our data was analyzed using a PROC mixed and a SAS. We did mean separation with Fisher's LSD with the alpha set at 0.05. And we did see a significant year by treatment interaction, so the years were analyzed separately. Quickly looked at the ANOVA table. We did notice a significant main effect due to date for days to recovery here on the left. There's a significant date main effect for date, a significant main effect for sand in 2009. However, we did see a date by sand interaction, and so we'll look at that. And for soil temperature at the 4 days after treatment, there was a significant main effect due to date, which you might expect as temperatures increase from spring into the summer. Soil temperatures go up as well. And so we won't look at that, but we will look quickly here at the main effect due to sand. So sand type did have an effect on soil temperature both years. However, when we looked at this in 2008, here on the left, we have the dates here on the x-axis with the soil temperature on the y-axis. And in 2008, there was a half a degree centigrade difference between the sand types. And when we moved to the shallower soil temperature depth in 2009, we got higher overall temperatures. However, the difference was still only 0.6 degrees centigrade between the sand types. So while it was significant, we had to question, was it biologically significant? Was it enough to really make a difference? And so we didn't weigh that very heavily in terms of our overall conclusions. This is the graph showing our sand by aeration date interaction. And so across the bottom here, we have the dates that aeration was applied. It shows both years with 2008's data on the left, and then it's split and showing 2009 on the right. This also shows the number of days it took to recover. So I'll just point out a couple of things here on the graph. Our overall fastest time to recover was about 10 days, and it wasn't. And you can see here in 2008, it was about 10 days at August 15th, and that wasn't different than these other four dates or these four treatments. In 2009, it was also about 10 days and didn't show any statistical difference from these other three aeration times. either. And so the range of kind of that fastest window was between about 10 and 14 days was as fast as we saw in terms of recovery. Also wanted to point out that there was aeration that occurred after October 1st in 2008, and then after September 15th in 2009. Those plots didn't fully recover within that growing season, so they remained open during the winter. And because of that, we wanted to avoid that, because you can increase your winter damage by leaving aeration holes open. You can increase the possibility of Poania invasion in the spring. And so we made note of that. I also want to point out the fact that after that date, after this cutoff date, as soon as you get into this region, sands, it didn't matter what sand type you used anymore. And so black sand, while it might have improved recovery right at the tail end of the season, once you hit that cutoff point, whatever it was, sand type didn't matter anymore. And so black sand didn't really increase our season. It might have improved it at the tail end, but we didn't get it really in any extension. Then we had nine aeration dates at which black sand recovered significantly faster than our tan sand, which the arrows are pointing, indicating here, or highlighting. But while we had those nine dates where black sand was faster, I also want to point out that at none of the dates was black sand any slower than tan sand. So it was always at least as good as our tan sand. So with that, let me conclude. So we found that black sand did quicken our recovery time by about as much as 60% compared to tan sand. And as I just mentioned, black sand never resulted in slower recovery due to aeration. It was at least as good as tan sand. Our fastest recovery times were between the 15th of June and the 15th of September both years, so they fell within that window. And as I said, we didn't see any full recovery after the 1st of October in 2008 or the 15th of September 2009. And in addition, the black sand after that point wasn't able to kind of extend our season or improve recovery after that point. That was kind of the drop dead time. So with that, let me acknowledge the USGA for helping fund this project, and also Grassroots Agronomics for providing black sand and some funding for the project. And I could take questions at this time. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the temperature. Was that the mean? And if so, what were the maximum temperature differences between the two sand types?
So the question was, did we show the mean temperatures on the data here? And yes, that it was the mean temperatures. And the maximum temperature difference that I believe we saw was up to about 3 degrees centigrade on any given when it was at its max. And that would have been the second year at the shallower depth.
Hey Chris, can you explain organically treated black sand?
Well, I can. The question is, can I explain organically treated black sand? And the answer is not really. That would be proprietary information. All I know is it came in bags and it was black. Some process that they put it through, and it actually stays black. Because we'd apply it, and we've been doing this for 3 years now, and you go back and dig up a core and you can still see a layer of black sand. And so it supposedly breaks down over time, but it takes a fair amount of time. So yes, sir.
Do we take any temperature readings at night?
Question was, do we take any temperature readings at night? No, we didn't. We just took one reading a day. It was right at midday at the same time every day.
You think
the black sand might be cooler at night from radiation and deep space?
Could be.
Who's in deep space?
Sir. Did you also do any moisture content measurements on the surface? Because if you have differences in temperature, you should really look at the moisture differences, because the specific heat capacity.
So the question is, do we look at moisture differences, because moisture would have an impact on our temperatures? And no, we didn't look at that. Yeah, that's the short answer. Yes?
So if you were a golf course superintendent in this region and you had to make a choice to use it, would you use black sand?
The question is, if I was a golf course superintendent, would I pay the premium on black sand and use it? And I would say, I think there's situations where I would, especially in the fall, if you're trying to extend it into the fall and push the envelope a little bit. I think what we saw, especially in September, that you got a pretty good increase in, or maybe decrease, the number of days it takes to recover. So I would, yeah.
Can you give us an idea of how much more expensive it is than sand?
Yeah, the black sand actually, it's quoted, it's about $80 a U.S. ton, and that doesn't include delivery.
That's FOB. Yeah.
What's that?
FOB, that's there. So it's delivery.
Yeah, freight would be in addition to that.
Even in Oregon, the guys, some of them don't want to pay the extra shipping costs for that in.
Chris, are people dyeing their own sand too? Have you heard of people doing it?
The question is, are people dyeing their own sand? And I've worked with some people that are trying to do that. Yeah, I've seen some people dyeing it.
Yeah.